Everybody, this is Chandradasa at the Buddhist Centre Online, and I am very happy to be back here with my wondrous colleague Dasani.
Hello there, people.
Who's been holding the fort here on the podcast for a couple of days, and we're all back together as a happy team. And this is our Buddhist Voices part of coverage of the International Council in 2016, where in a way we get to hear a bit more about the people who are attending, their stories of practice, what inspires them. Why on earth did they fly halfway around the world to come and take part in this kind of jamboree of meetings and explorations and Dharma practice? And what did they take home with them? And I think I can speak for Dasani saying we are utterly thrilled to have as our first guest.
It's the best ever.
It's the best ever. She's been here before. Ever. She's back for more.
By popular demand.
Vidyatara. Vidyatara is from Melbourne, Australia.
Yep.
And you may have heard her on these podcasts the last time around because she used to live and work here at Adistana. In fact, she was kind of the mover and shaker who helped the International Council happen. And since then, she's returned to Australia and is now back here for the first time. How is that? How's that going?
How's it being back? Well, it's a bit like cognitive dissonance, really. There's this thing of you arrive back here and the body knows exactly where it is and what it's doing. And yeah, you know, the brain is trying to work out whether I'm, you know, you take the girl out of Adistana and you take the Adistana out of the girl or the other way around.
Yeah.
Really.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, look, I am in a particular way. Look, what I really enjoy when I come back here, what I enjoyed when I was here was the people and just reconnecting with the people and, you know, the people, what all of these people coming together at Adistana in all different, you know, ways does, which is just create that atmosphere of Adistana, I suppose, of grace. And being here and just, knowing, you know, I was walking out of the dining room and there was Banti sitting on his bench. You know, you look at that and you think, and all is right with the world in a particular way. So.
Now, we used to have a conversation, I remember, about how wherever someone's practicing in Tirana is the centre of the movement in a way.
That's right.
Nonetheless, Adistana is a particular hub.
Yeah.
And as we said, you were kind of at the heart of that for a few years and quite influential in helping get this place up and running and functioning well. And it's been a great base. Do you miss it? Do you miss that sort of central involvement now that you're...
Oh, look, I mean, that's a really difficult question. Yeah, of course, and I was talking to Viveka about it today, is that there is something about being at the centre of things that's incredibly exciting. And also there's something about it where you know you're making a contribution in a particular way. And that's great. But, yeah, there's also... Sometimes I do think, you need time out of that because otherwise it can become too inward-looking. And I'm talking about myself. I've done this, worked in the centre of things in a mundane sense and also, you know, you're working in the movement, and I do realise that sometimes it can be like Starship Enterprise, you know.
Lost in space.
Or I could call it, I could be on my own little Buddhist bubble. So, you know, being back at home and getting some distance and looking back to this has also been incredibly useful as well.
And your background's politics, isn't it, originally? Before BA, before Adistana.
Before Adistana.
Your background was politics. Have you gone back to politics? Are you...
No, not directly. I'm back working in the, well, the English call it the civil service, and in Australia it's the public service. However, since I've been back, I have done a seven-week stint back in the minister's office again.
Of course you have.
And, I mean, it's just really interesting to go back to those sort of conditions and just see how I am in it now. And also to be really clear, I mean, there were two things in there. It's incredibly seductive. I mean, power is incredibly seductive. That's part of the nature of it. You know, it's like I always think of the little ring in The Lord of the Rings, and, you know, there's that attraction to it. But also, you watch as people get closer to it, the uglier they get. You know, and there were mornings I was waking up not looking particularly attractive. So there's that, it was really clear to me after that 7 weeks, and they asked if I'd stay on. I just said, no, I don't want to be doing that sort of work anymore. But it was also interesting being back in it and the effect that had on other people that were in the office, you know, because I came in with a different sort of energy and how that shifted something in there as well. So, look, it's nice to know that after all of these years of practice, there has been a level of spiritual progress.
That's great. So they're going to have to run Melbourne without you?
Yeah, in there.
Lord. You're no longer Miss Australia.
So how do you find it then, Vidyatara, living your fully Buddhist life in that public service? Tell me how you're finding that now.
Well, in a way, I don't find it any different, and that's the thing that's been really important for me, and I think that's one of the big learnings of having spent my time here. And I found that really inspiring, and to be of service in that way, to be able to do that, was a real privilege. But what I also found was, for me, there is something around taking that very fully into the world, which is what, you know, going back into the public service side of it, the work I've been doing when I went back in recently around, you know, doing some stuff with vulnerable communities and things like that. It's also, for me, has been fundamentally important. And to do that very explicitly as a Buddhist, I do the people there, a lot of them have known me for, because I was basically went back to my old job. A lot of them have known me, my journey from, you know, coming to the centre, training for ordination, being ordained,
yes, okay,
coming over here and then coming back again.
So there's been quite a strong witnessing of you then in a process of transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So to be able to do that in a really full way. Mm. I mean, I don't think I could work in the world without being very explicitly
who
I am. You know, so I sit there at my desk, I've got a really lovely picture of Red Tara, my sadhana practice, and she sits there, and that's like the touchstone, the mindfulness bell almost. Mm. So, you know, I can watch it out of the corner of my eye when I start getting wound up or whatever, and you see her there. And so people walk past and they'll ask about it.
Yes.
Yeah, they want to know what that is and why that's there.
And how do you talk about Red Tara in that context then?
Well, I just talk about her qualities, you know, in a way. The sort of qualities that she has, and that they are a reminder of the qualities that I want to develop in myself and the way I want to actually be with other people as well.
Presumably it's quite a support in a way to the Melbourne Sangha to have you come back and bring something with you from this kind of arc of being over here and being close to Sangha Rakshita and close to the International Council. I mean, it's one of the things we often ask people in these interviews is, what do you bring? What do you take home? But in a way, you're doing that double, aren't you? Kind of, it's this positive feedback loop between here and Australia. It must
be. Look, I think there is. I've not had a lot of engagement since I've been back directly with the centre, but certainly with people. And I do think there is. And I think a couple of things that you bring back from that is, and what people bring back from Adistana generally, is that sense of what this is and the importance of this as a space and a place and what can come out of it. For me, the important things have been actually bringing back things like what the International Council is and why that is such a fundamentally important condition upon which this extraordinary order and movement will continue into the future.
So you're still passionate about that, aren't
you? I'm completely passionate. Look, people have their shtick, you know. You've got Parami and Padmavaja do the big love thing, you know, which is really lovely. And I do International Council, you know, sad as that may sound.
But
it gets, you know, but it's what.
But you know, it really. But you know, it really, really isn't sad, because I know that that was your passion when that was your work life. Yeah. But now that it isn't your work life, and now you're living on the other side of the world, the fact that what this gathering stands for, and it being future-oriented and community-oriented, the fact that that is still your passion, that means a lot to me personally, because it means that, well, it's there's just such an earth-touching in that, isn't there?
There is a real earth-touching, and it is. I'm completely passionate about it. And, you know, I was in Poland recently on a retreat, and I was talking to young women there, and they were asking about what I was doing. And it really gives them faith that things have been thought through, they got really excited about it as well. That there's been that level of thought about how we have communication and dialogue about what's important in the order and movement, and that is this two-way process. It's bottom up, it's top down,
And that there's the ability to be responsive.
Exactly. And it's that thing, it's the thing when I've spoken about it before, doing nothing has a karmic response to it, and we can either choose to engage in things or choose not to. And it would be really sad, I think it would be sad for people to wake up one day and look around and think, this isn't the order I joined or I came into, because they've chosen not to engage in a process that helps shape the order. And we can all help shape the order and the movement. And the International Council is one of those ways of doing it. It's one of those ways of being engaged and making the order and the movement into whatever it needs to be to meet the needs of the world, I suppose.
Well, in a way, the structures, the stuff we're trying to cover online all week, etc., it's there as a kind of preeminent condition for the future of the movement. But actually, none of that matters if there aren't people who are passionate about it. In a way, you've poured your passion in. Demarati's poured his passion in. Adam Omega's coming in now. She's into it. And it strikes me that there's just that fundamental thing of, if we want to see where it goes, it's going to have to involve real beings making that kind of imaginative leap of being connected to each other. Yeah. And you exemplify that, like, in spades. It's just such a strong memory of interviewing you before, but hearing you now, and it's like the same continuous thread. I don't think that's a light, easy thing.
No, but it is. It's important. And I was saying to people, what I love most about these meetings is, you know, people come from all different parts of the world, and they come from our three different strands. So you bring, you know, say from the South Pacific, we bring what is important to the South Pacific. And I bring, here as one of the order delegates, what's important to the order. People are coming from South America, and they're coming from here and there. We're all bringing our own stuff. And it comes in here. And as it's talked about, you just watch people dropping their, this is what was important to me or to the order or to whatever. And it's that beautiful thing that, in my experience of the last three meetings, what we end up with is actually what is important for the benefit of all beings. All of the other stuff drops away. And as I've said this before, and I really mean it, when Bhante talks about the bodhicitta arising in a collective, when I come to these meetings, I can see how that can happen. I really, really get the taste of that.
So how do you think we compare to the government of Australia in terms of organisation, and what could we do better? What would you like to see the International Council take
Look,
forward?
I just come from a Brahma Viharas retreat, so you're loved, you know, I'm loved out, so I don't actually want to talk about the Conservative Australian government at the moment, because I might undo all the good.
Okay. Let's just talk about efficacy. Is it working?
Is the International Council working? Look, we were talking about this the other day. Yesterday, Damarati was talking about what's happened over the last three meetings. And it was just really interesting to see how much actually has happened. But the interesting thing is, it's often not, and I hate to use this word, but it's in common parlance and people understand, it's not branded International Council. Mm. So things like the way in which the commonality paper was dealt with, people's engagement with that, the way that changed when the order was consulted, went through the order strand. So it's seen as an order thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Tree Ratna Centres is going through the movement strand. What people actually don't see is this is International Council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I think what could be better done is how we communicate.
Right, sure. Yeah.
And how we actually knit. They're all threads in that, you know, sort of carpet or whatever else. Because I do think, particularly the thing around the commonality paper, I spoke to order members who, when they found out, came out of the International Council, they could see how the International Council allows them to engage in how the order is shaped and what it's shaped and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that's the one thing I would say.
Better communication.
Yeah, well, you know me. I've always been around
and
how we communicate things is,
Yes, I thought of a good hashtag for this one.
Yeah.
IC4. Hashtag IC4. I think that will go viral. Yeah. No, it won't go viral, will it? Oh, well. Never mind.
I'm just thinking something. Although I agree with what you've just said, I'm just thinking something It's not a devil's advocate, but it's just a different, it's just a different slant on what you've said. One of the things that Damirati was saying about yesterday was what the work of the International Council has been since its start. And our now much greater consciousness of the system of practice.
So that
has come directly from this meeting from the International Council. I think that's something that very few order members are aware of.
Yeah.
And yet, the fact that it's not branded as a product of the International Council, there's a bit of me feels all right about that because of this, right? I think a good friend acts spontaneously for their friends, and they don't come round 2 weeks later and go, "Look what I did for you. Yeah. I hope you remember that was an act of that was my awareness of you bringing that into being."
Sure.
So, I think it's true that a large number of our community won't really be aware that successes from the International Council, stuff that becomes a positive culture shift in the order, has come from here. But on another level, I'm all right with that because there's something about just beneficial to the world. And letting go of ownership.
Yeah. And look, I get that and I agree. And I don't think, as I was saying, branding's not a great way.
No.
But I think in the early days we need to do it because people need to trust the International Council actually does something.
That's true.
Because there's so much criticism about the bureaucracy in Tree Ratner or whatever else. That's what's this meeting doing?
Meetings culture.
So I would suggest, I think, 10 years, 15 years down the line, that's what you would be hoping for, is it's just...
I get you.
But I actually just think in the first 5 years we need to embed this. And people need to trust it as a structure and that it is... It functions... It actually produces something and it's not just another Tree Ratner meeting. And, you know, part of that is we're going to be going out there, you know, at times and, well, we do as an order in Australia in order to raise money to send people over here.
That's true.
They have to understand what they're going to be funding.
That's true.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a mixture, there's a spectrum of what you and I are talking about.
Yeah, there is. And actually what you see in terms of establishing that actually something is a valuable and meaningful creator of change for good.
You are an ambassador
of that very naturally.
Well, it's this kind of both and thing. It strikes me, there's something about leadership. You often hear people say we don't have leadership or the leadership's not clear. And I think in some ways implicit leadership is the essential thing. It needs to actually keep working and functioning. But people also need to know that they have a role to play in that. And the International Council is so inclusive.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's the, one of the most inclusive structures we have. Anyone literally can decide that they want to work their way into that structure.
Yeah.
And whenever we've talked about that to other Buddhist groups, actually people think it's amazing. They just they can't quite believe that we've got that all in place. So I still think you've got a big kind of merit accrued around you for helping get this going, because it's an extraordinary and not common thing.
No.
The merit, I think, I mean, I just look at Damirati and the people that, you know, Parami and others, I think Sadanandi, I can't remember the exact group, but certainly Damirati has driven, really, really driven this. Yeah, and I really hope he's able to, you know, start setting back and seeing the benefits of that really, really hard work.
Yeah, well, it all seems to be going.
And determination.
Mm.
And all of those diagrams.
he has a new diagram coming tomorrow that he won't tell me about.
Anyway.
Well, well done you. And
Thank you.
Good luck back in Australia.
Yeah.
We miss you here.
Mm. Yeah, I miss being here.
It'd just be nice.
I'd just love to spend 6 months here, 6 months there. But anyway, it's an aspiration.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being our first Buddhist voice this week. We'll be back most days with at least one guest, possibly two. Who knows? They're probably going to run well past the International Council. And tune in for other podcasts and talks and all the rest of it during the week. Meanwhile, this is Chandradasa saying goodbye.
And this is Dasani. Thanks for listening.
Kui.
And are you going to sing us a wee song at
the end?
No, you promised.
No, I'm not going to sing. They want the Vegemite song.
Which one? Come on, sing us your favourite. Just a little burst.
We're happy little Vegemites, as fun can be. We all enjoy our Vegemite for breakfast, lunch and tea. That's all you're going to get.
That's all we're going to get.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And it puts a rose in every cheek.
Oh, how splendid.
Well, Marmite doesn't.